So does karma exist for ghosts? See, all living beings are under the law of karma in the sense that whatever capacities we have, they are determined by one's past karma. See, all living beings are in that sense under karma. Even dogs. Now, some dog may be a street dog which has to struggle for food, and wherever it goes, it gets beaten up or threatened. And some other dogs are like pet dogs, you know, which live like kings. And I just came from Australia. I was just passing by at one place. There's a whole field called animal counseling, where people come and say, my pet dog is depressed, so please give him some counseling. And the psychologists were paid phenomenal amount for counseling dogs. So now these dogs live in luxury. So why do some dogs live in poverty and other dogs live in luxury? That is just karma. This is what kind of karma the dog, not the dog had done, but the soul who is presently in the dog's body, what karma they had done in the previous life and then in the human body. So just as there can be variety in animal species also, in the kind of comforts that they get. In a pack of lions, one lion may become the king, other lions are obedient servants to that. So why does one particular lion become a king? Because it's by its karma, it has a stronger body, it has leader, that leadership, it becomes a leader. So like that, even among ghosts.
Sir, but soul and dog.
Okay, yeah. So even ghosts, they have particular bodies which are particular kind of powers which are determined by their past karma. Now, do ghosts commit karma when by their actions? See, that depends on their level of cognition. If we see in the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, there's a hierarchy is described, where it described that ghosts are above humans. So ghosts are above humans. Why? Because they have certain powers which humans don't have. I cannot possess someone else's body. You cannot possess someone else's body. Ghosts can possess. So in that hierarchy, in some ways, ghosts are considered higher. So ghosts are, by their body, they are expected to function in a particular way. And as long as they function in that way, they are not directly under karma. Human beings are under karma. But if they do have intelligence to understand this is right, this is wrong. So if they do something which is for them to possess people is what they will naturally do. And because they are simply acting according to nature, they will not be, in the sense, accountable for each and every action that they do. But broadly speaking, everybody in everybody is a morally conscious agent, and they are responsible for their actions. The specific magnitude of the responsibility may vary from person to person. Like if I drive a car without license, then immediately I'm accountable. Even if I don't cause any accident to anyone, just the fact that I drive a car without license, that makes me culpable according to the law. Now, just because I have a license does not mean that I can do anything and everything. Even if I have a perfectly valid license, if I knock down someone, I'm still culpable. So there are authorization, but there are limits to authorization also. So the devata, those who are higher beings than us, the devatas, it is sometimes said that they are not under the law of karma. What that means is they have been given authorization. So if I am driving a car without license, immediately I am penalized. But if I have a license, I can drive, but still there are limits. So devatas also, they have limits. So if they do certain actions which are very grievously wrong, then they are punished. If Indra is a dispensed Bahaswati, immediately gets cursed and loses power. So like that, the ghosts also, they have certain levels of power and freedom which they have got because they are in their ghostly body, which is considered fairly powerful. But at the same time, they also have their limits. And if they go beyond those limits, then they are also penalizable in future for their actions.